jokes until you smile. You were lonely for a man. I said, take me as I am. But you might enjoy some madness for a while. Now think of all the years you tried to find someone to satisfy you. I might be as crazy as you say. If I'm crazy, then it's true that it's all because of you. And you wouldn't want me any other way. You may be right.
You may be right. And we may be crazy, but we are here on the Morning Edge on 1490 AM. I am Floyd J. Winters, and with me is Augie.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. And I tell you what, if your health isn't in danger now, it may be down the pipe. The Health Expansion Lip Program is maybe on the move in a positive direction. A $5 billion divide in the House and Senate released a budget proposal Thursday that banks on expanding health care coverage for low-income Floridians. Senators include a $2.8 billion in the budget proposal to pay for the expansion of health care coverage. That is an outgrowth of the Federal Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. House Republican leaders have rejected such proposals during the past 2 years and have shown no willingness to go along with a revised Senate expansion this year. If the expansion ultimately is approved, the federal government would cover $2.8 billion first-year cost of the plan, which the Senate has dubbed the Florida Health Insurance Affordable Exchange Program, or FIX.
F-H-I-X.
F-H-I-X, yes. The Senate budget proposal also includes $2.2 billion for the continuation of LIP, or the Low Income Pool Program, which in recent years has flourished and funneled additional money to hospitals and other health providers that serve large numbers of poor and uninsured patients. The program known as LIP is scheduled to expire June 30th unless the state can reach agreement with the federal government on an extension. Amid such uncertainty, the House budget proposal this week did not include the money. And furthermore, this morning we have the comments in the Sarasota Herald Tribune. The outcome of not going ahead with the Florida House poised to deliver a final blow to Medicaid expansion, legislators will also be turning their backs on a significant economic boost to the state. 900 fewer deaths if it's expanded. 178,000 additional Floridians with regular primary care. 33,600 fewer residents facing catastrophic out-of-pocket medical costs. 69,000 fewer residents experiencing symptoms of depression. Well, gee, that is sad, isn't it? 86,000 more people will receive full amount of health care needed. So much for that. Just blow it down the tubes. And, you know,
Florida. So 900 fewer deaths?
Yeah,
well, that will help to get rid of the surplus poor, won't it?
Yeah, well, you know, Paul Krugman talks about this. America remains, despite the damage inflicted by the Great Recession and its aftermath, a rich country. Many Americans are economically insecure and little protection from life's risk. They frequently experience financial hardship, but don't expect to be able to retire, and if they do retire, have little to live on besides Social Security. I'm not only talking about right-wing contempt for the poor, although the dominance of compassionless conservatism is a sight to behold. According to the Pew Research Center, more than three-quarters of conservatives believe that the poor have it easy, thanks to government benefits. Only 1 in 7 believe that the poor have hard lives. And this attitude translates into a policy. What we learn from the refusal of Republican-controlled states to expand Medicaid, even though the federal government would foot the bill, is that punishing the poor is fine. Let's do more of it. a goal in and of itself, worthy of pursuing, even if it hurts, rather than help states' budget. They're willing to.
Well, let's take a look at that for a second.
And a good example of that, Floyd, is Kansas has really done it, but now we're about to do it in this
state. Well, let's take a look at that. What you just said is punishing the poor is fun, and you're accusing all of the Republicans of wanting to punish the poor.
But
let me finish the idea.
Sure.
I just heard yesterday from a friend of mine who's a Republican saying the Democrats, they just don't like the fact that people make a lot of money. They don't like the fact that people are successful. They don't like people who work hard and are able to put savings in the bank. They want it to be equally distributed. And we have these polar opposites that are not true. I don't think the Republicans want to punish the poor, and the Democrats don't want to take away money from the rich. We just want the rich to pay the same percentage of their taxes as the poor people do. If when Warren Buffett pays 14% taxes and his secretary pays 28%, mm-hmm. when the presidential candidates are paying 14%, like our last president, guy who ran for president for the Republican Party, when they're paying 14%, and their secretaries and the people running are paying twice that amount, that's what the Democrats are asking for. I don't believe the Republicans want to punish the poor.
I don't think. But when the opportunity affords itself, they turn their back on the poor. And a good example is the guy who said, gee, government's the problem, not the solution. And he held up a list of jobs. See these all these jobs available? And it was a list from McDonald's. And his name was Ronald Reagan. And it said, all these jobs are available. And when people started looking at what he was showing, they were showing two hours a day, or small amounts of work per day that people had to go out of their way to try to scramble during his time in the presidency to try to find work. That still goes on today and to some extent. And so your attitude is the deal. If this is government of the people, and he says government is a problem, and this is a quote, government is a problem, not the solution, then you have leadership that's followed this great idol that says the same thing. I was sitting with people, and this issue came up, and I was watching a basketball game, and I cited that this is the government of the people, and by golly, I said, the poor have it easy. They get food stamps, they get this, they get that, they get the other thing, and they're bums. And I said, so when somebody gets a subsidy like that, they're bums, right? And I cited the situation that every homeowner who has a mortgage, if they have an existing mortgage, gets a subsidy from the government. And tell me why that discount or that subsidy and having your interest rate that you have to pay on your mortgage, why that isn't the same as getting a subsidy like the poor get. And they got really angry with me. These were ardent Republicans. They did not want to admit that they were on a subsidy themselves with the write-off of the taxes on their tax bill for having interest deductions for the mortgage that they had to pay. And do we have a caller?
We have our friend Peter on the air. Peter, do you want to weigh in on the issue today? How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you better now, yes.
Yeah, I must have been staticky headphones because I'm on a digital phone. There's no static on a digital phone.
Okay, Peter, way to go.
Anyways.
When the calls are not dropping, right?
Well, that's true. Listen, yeah, you could get me on a tangent about how crappy the cell phone service is and how poor and you can relate to this.
I do.
How poor audio quality there is on cell phones. Do you agree?
Oh, totally, totally.
It's horrendous, and the public is duped into, you know, 10 gigabytes for $99 and, you know, games and all this stuff, yet the audio, well, phones aren't making calls anymore. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
The iPhone's the absolute worst. Well, I don't know
if Peter, why did you call Peter?
I'm going to play with Peter a minute. I'm going to put a warrant for your arrest for saying such a terrible thing about our wonderful communication system in this country. What's the matter with you?
The cell phone system is not wonderful as far as I'm concerned. And anyways, you guys made a remark now. You saying that Republicans, and Augie says, or Jay said that you don't think Republicans purposely want to punish poor people, correct?
I think they operate out of pure damned indifference.
Yeah, they're not doing it on purpose, but I'm going to tell you something, that there are liberals who want to punish the rich, and they want to do it.
I'm one of them. And I'm one of them. You're right.
Well, they want to play, and they've admitted it. This is no secret.
I want to comfort the uncomfortable, the afflicted, and I want to make the afflicted, put some affliction upon the rich. Even Warren Buffett agrees with me.
This is where you guys have got this wrong. You made the remark about, who made the remark about Warren Buffett first? You did, right, Jay?
I did.
Okay. Now, you said that Warren Buffett only pays 14% in taxes and the secretary pays
20%. And Mitt Romney, too.
Mm-hmm. And this is what you guys are failing to say, though, okay? And this is where you guys get into trouble. The secretary is paying 28% on wages or a payroll. Warren Buffett doesn't get payroll. He's getting 14% and paying 14% capital gains on his investment.
You're right about that, Peter, and capital gains are taxed differently, and capital gains go to stocks and the sale of real estate and so on. And there is a way around this thing to make it work more fairly. If your predominant income is capital gains, in my honest opinion, you need to pay like the hardworking wage earner. But in some countries, capital gains is not taxed whatsoever. So you can argue.
It isn't taxed here on everything anymore either, by the way. No, you can sell your house if you live in it for 2 years or more. And you had to be over 55 not to pay your capital gains. Then they changed it if you bought a house worth more value. Now, if you sell a house and you live in it, it's your primary residence, you don't have to pay any capital gains.
Go ahead.
Help me out, Peter. You have a secretary who's working and putting in her 50-hour week.
Yeah.
But the wealthy person who doesn't have to work and could just sit and let his stocks or let his bonds go up and stuff like that, he makes a lot more money, and he doesn't have to pay taxes for his leisure, but the woman who works her butt off has to pay taxes. Now, how is that fair?
Well, I'm going to tell you something else that you're not bringing up. It is fair because Warren Buffett already paid his 28% before he got to where he is. That's what the difference is. Somewhere along the line, that guy had to pay his taxes to earn his wealth. And the other thing, if his secretary is paying 28%, how much is she earning? How much is she being paid?
Well, if she's in a 28% bracket, she's somewhere between $30,000 and $50,000, depending on her deductions. But
how many secretaries do you know that make? Wait a minute. Let's go back. How many secretaries do you know that make $50,000 a year?
Only ones who are doing executive secretary.
Executive secretaries will make more than that, Peter. That's not the point.
Let me make a difference.
That is the point. You guys want to compare.
But Peter, one thing you're missing, and you're going to find that we're in agreement in one way. Capital gains can be deferred or put off indefinitely on a like-kind exchange. In other words, if you sell your stock and instead of taking a hit on capital gains, you don't even have to pay a capital gains because you can, if you trade it into another stock, or you get, instead of getting money, you get stock and you exchange stock for stock. That's like-kind exchange, and you can do And you can do that.
You can do that with a 401k. Basically, it's the same thing. Your 401k.
You can do that with real estate. And so this is what's missing here. I personally believe, let me give you some food for thought, Peter. I don't believe in property taxes, but I think that people who most benefit from working, educated people should pay an education tax, and those are the corporations. They want quality workers in this country, or so they say. Then I say they pay for it as a corporation tax. Right now, a student who doesn't want to get an education in this country because they can't afford it can go to Germany. They've put in 220,000 students, free education in Europe and with a promise of a job, no citizenship required. You come there, they will educate you, they will find you a place to live, and they'll promise you a job in the end if you decide to stay or don't decide to stay. It's free.
Yeah, and then when you start working, then you pay the taxes. So I'm not saying that's a good, I'm not that familiar with that, and I'm not going to dispute it, but when you start working in Germany, you're going to pay the taxes. It's not for free.
No,
and the taxes there are much higher than here.
Sure they are, but their benefits are a lot higher too. You have free health care. Excuse me, I happen to know exactly what I'm talking about here.
It's not free, Archie.
Oh, it is.
It's never free.
Wait,
it's not
Peter,
free. You pay for it somewhere.
Peter, the reason you get free health care, if you go as a visitor to Europe, Germany, France, Italy, I name every Western European country after another, you pay no bill when you leave, and you're just a visitor.
You see, I believe that. You don't pay at the office or at the hospital. You pay through other things. Those people
have
to be paid.
Well, you pay for a gas tax, but here's the way that works, so you understand. $8 or $9 a gallon for fuel in Germany, but the average mileage per European car, their European fleets, all of Western Europe, is 40 miles or more to the gallon, which is more than double what we get here. So effectively, they pay no more for their fuel than we do here. And I can demonstrate that.
I do not disagree with you on that. This is the difference. How many people live in Germany and how many people live in the U.S., number one?
90 million people in Germany. There's 60 million in France. That's 150 million. There's 350 million in Western Europe. And we have a little over 300 million in this country. So,
but those are all separate countries with all different rules and tax laws and everything.
They share more than that. They share a federal system that they're more and more moving to match ours. And then the other thing that they do is they have what I call a popular vote. So when they elect people, it's not with this goofy electoral system that we have. It's a vote by person by person. This whole system we have here is a mess, and people like you and I and everyone else are moving closer to the edge of poverty without even knowing it. Because
well, that has nothing to do with our electoral system, Archie.
We put into office people who don't give a damn about the poor. If they don't care about
I'm
the
not going to disagree. I agree that a lot of politicians went for self-interest now, and I would change some laws about that, both on the Democrat and Republican side. You don't get an argument from me. But the only thing we don't vote by popular vote, okay, is a president. Everything else is done by counting votes, from your dog catcher all the way up to your governor and senators and congressmen. So the only thing that isn't done that way, and you know the reason why we have the Electoral College, electoral vote, was it's a system that was put into place. So if we went to populist votes, and it's almost happening now, the big cities in this country would elect the president, and everywhere else would eat turkey, okay? Or eat crow. Because Miami, Atlanta...
Explain something to me then, Peter. You're going to have to explain to me that you would rather see the state of Maine, which is less than 1 million people, the state of Wyoming is about the same, these little bitty states with two senators representing them, equal to two senators and 36 million people in California, 18 million in New York, 16 million in Florida, and 18 million or so in Texas, that they have equal power in our Senate. I mean, this is silly stuff.
That's not silly stuff. I agree. The people in those states need the same representation as the people in the state of New York. I am totally for the system that we have when it comes to the Electoral College and two senators for every state. You don't have as many congressmen. Your congressman is done by your population. And the Congress is what works most of the laws anyways.
It's by districts.
But you know what I'm saying? We've got, 42 districts or something here in Florida? And Wyoming has three or something.
Let me ask you, Peter. I brought up the issue of health care. Do you want the health care to be... have the society have basically emergency room health care for the poor? Because that's what we've got now.
First of all, this is another misnomer you guys have to do.
Misnomer.
The poor, the real poor, okay, that are on some sort of assistance have free health care now. All right? Mothers,
Wait a minute. The LIP program is what they have had. That's about to go away. That's what's on the cusp right now, Peter. That's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
If you're telling me that the people that are on welfare do not going to have free health care anymore.
Under this current legislature, they're going to knock out the LIP program, absolutely. That's what's going on. The House and the Senate do not agree Gardner, who's head of the Florida Senate, wants to put in the fix program, and the House under Christofoli wants to eliminate it because, well, the government won't come in and fund it anymore, the federal government.
Well, I will say that it will not. I will bet a dollar to a donut that that program does not get cut. I will bet on it. I will bet that that stays
well,
in place.
You're right, but
the government never ever cuts anything out. They never eliminate anything.
Wait a minute, Peter. By June 30th, the fight is going on right as we speak in the Senate, in the House, as it's going on right now in the legislature in Tallahassee, a place that should be in Orlando, by the way. But they're fighting over what we're arguing about or discussing anyway. That's what they want to eliminate, and Christofoli and Scott want to eliminate it. That's their, and this is the guy that should be in jail for lying 75 times in a grand jury hearing over his own burglarizing a healthcare system down in Naples. So this is what we've got for so-called leadership. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, and Obama should be in jail for selling dope, and then he would never have been president. I mean, it should have, could have, would have. Let's see. Let's stop driving over, beating the old dead horse, okay? Because Obama used illegal drugs.
You know about the LIT program.
I didn't know that that was one of the things that was being...
It's called the Low Income Pool Program. This is the budget proposed, also includes nearly $2.2 billion for the continuation of what you were saying is a fact, and you're right at this point. The Low Income Pool Program, LIP, which in recent years has funneled additional money to hospitals and other health providers that serve large numbers of poor and uninsured patients. The program known as LIP is scheduled to expire June 30 unless the state can reach an agreement. And that's where the fight is, and the House is the problem, and Scott, the two of them, are making...
Let me ask you this, Augie. Yeah, let's say they eliminate that. What, are those people then eligible for Obamacare?
Well, the problem with that is they blocked the exchanges from coming in here, so they can't get in. They really can't. That's the problem. And that's, so there's nothing for them. The only outlet for the people...
What do you mean? Well, I just explained it to you. They blocked the exchanges until the first of the year. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, every time it comes up, the House in particular has blocked it, yes. That's what I'm telling you.
The Senate wants it. The House does not
exactly
want these changes.
And Scott does not want it.
I am going to tell you that I do not believe that those people are eligible to go get Obamacare through some sort of system.
There's no mechanism. Really, it's blocked.
Well, you can't.
State.
Well, this is another stupid thing. You can't even sign up for Obamacare now anyways. It has open enrollment. We have the old private insurance company, or you go to a private insurance company,
well,
you can sign. Actually, you can't even do that anymore because my company offers health insurance, and you only can buy it once a year when they have the open enrollment, okay? And then, if you don't like it, you can't cancel it. How do you like that until next year?
Well, then you have to wait a year. But the point is...
Well, wait a minute. Stop. That wasn't a rule.
One question at a time. So we go back to the first question. What are they going to have if they don't have this? And the hospitals... Well, when these people show up in the emergency room, which is where their last outpost is, the county health departments are being shut down to them. I know this for a fact, for certain people have gone there. They get referred right back to the emergency room. And the most expensive health care goes to them under those conditions. It's going to financially break many hospitals that are on the cusp right now in the state. This is what's going to happen. They're going to shut down. That's what's going to happen. That's what's coming.
And, Peter, we have to take a break. We want to thank you very much for your phone call and your opinions. And we're going to hear from one of our sponsors right now.
Hey, just can I make one more comment?
Sure, one quick one. Go ahead.
I want to know, I want you to tell me that Sheldon Whitehouse, U.S. Senator from Rhode Island, should be incarcerated or put into a straitjacket for insane. Now, do you know who Sheldon Whitehouse is?
He's a congressman, isn't he?
He's a U.S. senator for the state of Rhode Island, who I personally know from.
You were cut off. Do you think we have
we've got Dennis. We got to start
our
commercial
our
right now.
Our guest is on the line. We have to go to our guest. Sorry about that, Peter.
This part of the Morning Edge is brought to you by Collins, Little, and Delgado, practicing personal injury, criminal defense, and family law. Call 941-749-1446. 941-749-1446. 47.
I may be crazy.
Sarasota is home to a true gift, the Posture Clinic of Sarasota, with Dr. Mark D'Amato, 4450 South Tamiami Trail. Dr. D'Amato is a veterinary chiropractor, treating horses, dogs, or your favorite four-legged friend. First and foremost, animal chiropractic care is not intended to replace traditional veterinary medicine. Complementary care is a type of care that works with your vet, and certainly not instead of them. To find out more information, call Dr. Mark D'Amato at 941-927-7009. That's 941-927-7009.
And we got a chance to hear Henry Raines' voice in that Cadence Little Delgado little clip, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And we have on the line one Dennis Malley, who is the editor of the BradentonTimes.com. And Dennis, welcome to the Morning Edge.
On every Friday.
Thank you. We guys got to get it back. You guys got to get it right at some point. It's Maley.
Yes. give me one more month.
Dennis, straighten us out. Straighten the audience out. What is it you exactly believe?
It is.
Okay.
It is Dennis Malley, M-A-L-E-Y.
M-A-L-E-Y, with a brilliant son, Sullivan, who hasn't been in here. We probably should have a day for Sullivan. And
he will be coming soon. We'll come up on summer break, definitely.
If he can sit down on the line with my granddaughter, who's a brilliant individual also, and we can have a shared show with the two of them.
You got it. Hey, I got to tell you, that was an entertaining phone call, your last guest. I love when Peter talks. I mean, it shows you the mentality of people who are ideologues and the idea that, well, you know, it's all about handouts, and then you educated them on lip and how that's the handout to the hospital. Well, I didn't know that, but still, we somehow got to Obama experimenting with drugs or something. He used illegal drugs. Didn't George Bush acknowledge having a cocaine problem?
Good point, dude.
But what about the Democrats? There's a governor in Rhode Island or something. I mean, there's always some. Well, let's not talk about anything that's Republican because there's an answer that the Democrat is worse. It doesn't matter how bad, you know, whatever.
Hillary's calling for a really interesting thing. She's asking that you get a driver's license, you get a registration, and that she wants to shift the responsibility for getting people registered to vote on the state and on the federal government, not on the individual, which I think is
true. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that argument. I'll tell you why.
All right, sure.
As I watch elections so closely, the one thing that I truly notice is it seems that about 10% of the people who vote actually take the time to inform the vote in any way whatsoever.
Oh, they go by name, period.
Yeah, yeah, and or just straight party, without even really having any understanding whatsoever of the party's platform. So I've never thought that, you know, it's a shame that 40% of the electorate tends to vote, yes, but it's a bigger shame that about 10% of them, you know, so we're talking the total population, have any informed knowledge whatsoever
Point, Dennis, I really think the parties would be wise, and especially the Democrats, if they were to advertise the platform of the other party. And they said this is an approved platform voted on by the Republicans in their convention. This is what they believe in, and where do you come down? And put that up for comment.
Yeah, and if you at least just had a simplification of it, but you know, even the simplification of it shows you the problem when somebody like Peter makes those arguments about Medicaid expansion. They come down to those bullet points on the platform. You know, the entire platform. Nobody will sit through and read that. But the bullet points on it, they sound good on both sides. They sound like everybody's a winner. And the reality is you have to look at it and dig just a little bit deeper if you're going to have any sort of informed vote. Otherwise, you kind of say, hey, listen, I'm not going to pay attention. I don't have time for that. And I'm just going to let other people decide it for me. But then you shouldn't complain when you go into your doctor's office or, you know, you go to into retirement or you get your first Social Security check. You shouldn't complain if it doesn't turn out the way that you want it to. If you don't participate in democracy, you know, it's a hands-on operation.
Yeah, and you know, I always like to cite Reagan because Reagan did a couple of things, and his statement about government's a problem, not the solution, shows an attitude of, I think, contempt for the people, because he's talking about them to them when he says that. And if the people who And then you, and when people then turn around and says, and he cut our taxes. No, he cut the taxes of the wealthy from
and he raised taxes seven times. The Republicans forget that. He raised taxes seven different occasions.
Exactly. Well, the government is the problem in this respect. It's not the people. The people of
Florida. We are the government, Florida.
Well, wait a minute. Augie, give me a chance. The people of Florida voted in favor of the anti-gerrymandering thing so that we would draw districts based upon geographical areas, not on political areas. The people of Florida voted on the Everglades restoration. The people of Florida voted on the environmental funding for that. And the legislature, the politicians, have overruled the people's vote over and over again because of gerrymandering.
There's a decision coming forward this fall on this very matter. Judge Lewis, I forget what court he's in, the federal district court, but he's about to cite that thing and force and impose a whole new set of restrictions on those districts and change them in such a way. There's prediction that at least three or four districts are going to swing the opposite way.
Out of the whole 20-some districts.
That they can predict at this point, and there'll be others affected as well.
Yeah.
But he's doing here you have the judiciary doing what the legislature has failed to do. I'm going to come back to my other point, and I chime in on this, Dennis. We are the people, and if we allow the blame to shift to the legislature, people not doing our bidding, where are we, Dennis?
Oh, at that point, democracy's gone.
Yeah, so we don't have it anymore. So instead of saying the government's the problem, when we do that, we basically wash our hands of our own responsibility when we do that. This is us doing it to ourselves.
I agree.
In many cases, but again, you elect people, whether it's Obama.
You do have a great point in that it's broken to such an extent that the will of the people is not exercised through the Democratic Republic, through the representatives. And, but again, the people have allowed this to happen by continuously reelecting. You know, you only get a gerrymander when you win. So by not participating and not voting in the right people office and not holding accountability to the incumbents, you know, the people have basically, you know, allowed this.
Yeah. Dennis, you got some other things that you want to talk about. I know the Bayshore High School and the cancer issue and things like that. Do we have a caller?
We have Ken on the air. Ken, welcome to the Morning Edge.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Dennis. Yes, Dennis Mailey.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, you got it. See, how hard is that? It just rolls off the tongue.
There you go. What a comment.
Say, let's not forget when we talk about overruling the will of the people, the voters in Florida, let's not forget Jeb Bush, who said he had a devious means to overcome the will of the voters in subverting the class size amendment.
Yeah, he did that. He did say that.
And the high
and
speed
train
rail, too.
And he bamboozled the voters when it came to voting and voting again on the high speed rail project.
He did the same. Yeah, these guys, their interest is in the developers and the land on either side of 75 and 95 because they promised those developers that's going to remain the same, and a rail system would destroy that whole idea, and that's where these guys... And Jeb Bush also said when he got elected the second time, won't it be great when these halls are empty? He was talking about the government of the people that he was hoping for, and he also pushed for privatizing our water system in Florida. These are the two or three things that we're talking about here. This guy, anyhow, I don't think he's going to become the nominee, but anyway.
I have a question for Dennis. What, can you hear me, Dennis?
Yes.
What's the story with the Board of County Commissioners? What don't they understand about buying land? You buy land low and you sell high. What is it that they don't understand about that? You know what I'm talking about?
They
bought this piece of property at the corner of 9th Street and 63rd Avenue in 2010 for $850,000. It was appraised at $1.1 million. I'm sorry, it was $835,000. It was appraised at $1.1 million. And they're proposing to sell it to a boys' academy next door for $85,000. What's with that?
Well, listen, I'll tell you, there's a lot going on with that. It's been vacant. There has been an effort to put a community center in there that has not gone anywhere. There is a district charter school, not a for-profit charter, a non-profit that came in and has been operating out of a church. And they said they have matching funds from another organization, and they would like, you know, basically a sweetheart deal from the county on this vacant property as an investment. And I got to tell you, I saw that presentation, and it was one of the most thoughtful I'd seen. So, I mean, they're not selling it to a developer to run a for-profit enterprise. So this is, a lot of times they gift it to nonprofits. So what we're looking at is, you know, we had a field community center, and you have an academy looking to come in. And the gentleman who gave the presentation, very interesting, an African-American man, a Harvard grad, played professional basketball in Australia for a while. His wife is also very highly educated. She's one of the directors. Their board came with a lot of credentials, and what the focus of the school is on young, poor, it's an all-male academy for young, poor African-American males who predominantly do not have, you know, a father figure in the house, and to teach them, you know, a different way than what is happening in the community. So I look at a guy here who has succeeded and thrived and kind of got the brass ring, and is focused on coming back and working in communities like he grew up in and giving a better alternative for the system that they've failed in so often. And I got to take my hat off to him. You know, I think that it's exactly what we need in terms of addressing poverty. And I saw the curriculum and the way with the rules and regulations where they have these kids, you know, dress appropriately, look adults in the eye, address them respectfully. They're teaching them how to succeed in our society, and they're going to the kids that most often are being left behind.
If
we're going to make an investment, I think that's one that's a worthwhile. Somebody at least trying.
Let me interject here. Ken, you're raising an interesting point. You see a chance for someone to make a big profit here. How is that not possible if this is just a ruse and just temporarily create this seeming wonderful thing?
You're asking me?
It's an open question either.
Well, I don't know. From what I've read in the newspaper, I don't really know enough about it. And I don't think most folks in Manatee County know enough about it. It seems strange to me that some commissioners had, after they discussed it several weeks ago, they had reservations about going through with this process, that they didn't follow proper protocols, proper procedures. It would seem like, you ought to...
Well, they didn't vote through with it. They didn't vote it through. They voted through to basically begin looking at that. They'd have to vote it again to sell it. But
It has to have a double vote.
Most stuff like this have to have several votes. You have to vote to direct the beginning of negotiations for something like that. Then you have to come back and vote for the approval when it's a finalized order. So it hasn't been finalized yet.
Sure. It just seems like they ought to know what the value of the property is, you know, its current value, before they make any deal. It ought to be appraised and after all, it doesn't belong to the county commissioners. It belongs to the people of Manatee County.
That's true, but I would just say, Kayla, and I could say that obviously there's opportunities for graft anytime the government gets into the buying and selling of anything. However, you look over in Bradenton right now, and the city's about to get rid of a whole bunch of really nice property at Evers Reservoir. That they're selling to a developer, and it's just going to be a couple hundred more big $300,000 houses. So that's the typical scenario. And when I see something where instead of just, you know, putting it in the coffers so it gives you some other project, instead you have an investment that might, because of the matching funds, you're able to start something and solve one of your other community problems with a relatively small investment on the county's part. You know, I think that, and Augie, to answer your question, when they do deals like that, there are always all kinds of riders and so forth that when the deal would, if it stopped being used for that purpose.
purpose everything the county would buy back.
The purpose changes that dictates a revote or a reexamination, open court, and all that.
Again, they haven't formatted the action yet, but that's the typical protocol when the county gives any kind of property in that scenario.
Well, just to be clear, I'm not objecting to it's an intended use.
Sure, I would check them out.
I just wondered why it would go ahead without where a number of commissioners would be questioning.
Well, I think you saw a political dynamic there because of which commissioner was in favor of it, which one brought it to the table. But I think that you're going to see the beginning of the process. It's going to be public. The public will have the opportunity to go to the meetings, give public comment, read the proposal, but these kind of things happen in government every day. Unfortunately, people usually don't follow along, don't give comment, and they don't have that input to go on. But I would at least start by looking at the Academy, Visible Men Academy. They at least have a good idea. Like I said, they're trying something to solve the a part of the educational equation that unfortunately too few people are addressing right now.
Mm. All right, well, thanks, Dennis.
Thanks. And Dennis, I've got a question for you that I think Augie will like. I think Augie is something he's talked about repeatedly. Right now we have our famous Dave Minor is proposing to expand the Board of Education from 5 members to 7 members and do away with this at-large voting, but instead have it per district voting. What do you think about that, Dennis?
Actually, my Sunday column will address this.
Oh, really? Good.
My Sunday column will be on this.
Before you go too much further, your Sunday column comes out when?
Sunday?
Oh, so it's on the day. I say that because some things come out earlier, you know.
Well, it comes out midnight.
At midnight. But the point is, you've gotten some recent praise for some of the stuff you've written, the matter of the cancer issue and things like that. Now you're telling about Dave Minor's proposal, and you agree with it, or what do you think?
I disagree with it. I look at it, Augie, you and I are on the same page on what the at-large districts have done. Where this came from is it started, believe it or not, over in the African American community. I started hearing this about a month back from members of the Black Caucus and the NAACP. The next person that brought it up was Commissioner Charles Smith, District 2 of the Manatee County Commission, the only African American commissioner. He brought it to the county commission and said he'd like to possibly talk, to the school district about it, maybe a joint meeting or something. Then Minor was the first person to request it to be put on the agenda. I read in the story they said, Braden Harrell, it's good enough for the county commissioner, it should be good enough for us. Let's look at how this happens. Right now they have what is called the default setup for the board organization by the state constitution, which provides for 4 different ways for the school board to organize itself. What a lot of people don't realize right now is that they have essentially 5 at-large. Even though they're given a district and you ostensibly represent that district and they'll tell you you should go see the school board member for your district if you have an issue. The reality is all 5 of our school board members are elected countywide. That I strongly disagree with. How would it be that you're supposed to be responsible to a constituency, but you're elected by a much broader electorate? And I'll give you an interesting example. In the last election, 2 school board seats came up, District 2 and District 5. Both of the candidates who lost won the election by a majority
in their district. Right.
Yes, they both won in their district, but lost because of the at-large votes. So how is it representative democracy if you can have someone win without winning the district? So I don't like the way it is now at all, and I think countywide elections, as we talk about with the county commission, the at-large seats are too expensive, they're too hard to run. If you want to do it effectively, and that's part of the problem, is that they're known in the district, you're obviously liked in the district, but if they don't have the money and the apparatus to campaign countywide, which school board seats typically only rate is about a third to maybe half of what a county commission one does. So they're doing it on a lower budget, and it's showing that they're not effectively canvassing the whole county, and it's showing in the results. Now, here's the other option. So if we want to scrap this, The one is to do what the county commission does, which is have 5 that are in their district and 2 at large. I don't like that in the school board for a very simple reason. You can have, at that point, 3 of the 7 members be from the same district. So what if right now we have a lot of back and forth and some animosity with people in Northwest Bradenton, which tend to support that at the high school and be kind of the alumni and the old guard of the county. What if they had three seats of a seven-member board? That's a lot of influence. Or what if Lakewood Ranch had three seats of a seven-member board? That would hardly seem representative of a big county. So I don't like that, and that's the only one we're talking about, which is unfortunate, because there's two more better options. The next option is you can go with just a five-member board that is in district. So they can continue to be lined up a couple of years back. See, a couple of years back, they realigned. They redistricted the school board seats, and they basically voted, I think it was 2011 or 12, 11, I believe, they voted to align them with the county commissions. So now you have, like, District 2, you have Dave Miner, and you have John Chappie on the county commission. And they have the exact same boundaries, the exact same voters, but Miner made the point, hey, I've got a campaign through the whole county, and he has a good point. He has a much harder job than John Chappie does. They should go with a system that has the five in district, but do not put the two at large. If, as Charles Smith said, I think we need more representation, we need a bigger board, well, there's more expense that goes with that. You got to remember, too, so that's money coming out of the classroom.
$30,000.
$40,000. Yeah, about 36 or 70, plus there's healthcare and different things like that. So you're looking at about $100,000 in total cost.
And that doesn't go to the real cost, in my opinion, because when you have large elections, the cost to run countywide is far greater on the individual.
Right.
And the obligation of that individual to the big money is huge. And so who is
it's going to be more expensive.
But we already
have that.
Yeah.
But that's not a sound argument on this one yet, because all five of them have that right now. So we should get rid of that. Agreed. We should get rid of that. But that's the other thing that would happen. Just like when they said it's good enough for the county commission, it's good enough for us. Well, anybody who watches the county commission knows it's not good enough. It's not working for the reasons Augie just described.
Yeah, the model of the county commissions, both in Sarasota and Manatee County, are terrible. I mean,
for the reason that they have the two at large that are basically bought. If you look at any county commission race in Manatee County, the two at large races, you need at least $100,000. And the way the races shake out, somebody has $100,000 or more, and somebody else has between 5 and 15. And the person with $100,000 or more always wins. And it's not because they've gotten a bunch of $25 donations and they've won the support of the people. It's because Mosaic and Pat Neal and Carlos Baruch and all those people that write the big checks that bought those seats. Yeah. So we need to move away from that, and we can go to either 5 or 7. Yeah. And there is the argument maybe for 7 if you're going to say, listen, we're a growing county, because the other thing is, the school board is going to have to redistrict again, probably faster than the county is, to address for all the growth in Northeast County and the fact they're going to build a school out there. So they really should have a district that is in parish and dedicated to that area instead of just being into a mammoth district one that incorporates parts of Palmetto, all of those, and parts of
Palmetto. You know, so, I'm going to recommend something to you. I really think this issue is a regional issue, and that both counties end up with this kind of a problem, and then you end up with a clown changing the precincts around to manufacture voting packing by supervisor of elections. Charles Hines in Sarasota was elected countywide for, I think, District 4. I'm not sure if 4 or 5. And he lost in his own district to 2 or 3 other people who had each of them more votes in his own district than he did, yet he won the vote because of the at-large situation. This aberration called putting people into office is a joke. The local Democrats who won the situation in the city of Sarasota, which is no longer the largest city in Sarasota County, Venice is as large and Northport's larger by 10,000 people, has a screwed up thing. I think a countywide, regional-wide circumstance of what's going on in these two contingent areas is an important issue that people need to understand and what the effect really is.
Yeah, agreed. You know, it's not something to be rushed into. This is the kind of ham-fisted government that we get too often, where somebody says, I think this will be a good idea, and everybody who's arguing for it, every time I talk to them, I say, well, did you consider this? Oh, no, that's a good point. Did you consider this? Oh, no, that's a good point, too. What about having 3 people from one, you know, representing essentially one high school on the board? Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. so we get this kind of rush to action where somebody decided, and listen, the other really strange part is I can understand African Americans are probably looking at Rodney Jones won District 2 and he lost the race because of the Kennedy White vote. Charlie Kennedy got the seat. He would have won had they had that, and they'll get one person on the board. But why on earth would they want to go to 7 and then basically guarantee nobody, no African American has ever been elected countywide in Madison County, ever. So they're basically guaranteeing they'll only have 1/7 of the vote. 1/5 would seem better because they've had 1/7 on the county commission since District 2 was gerrymandered out to settle a lawsuit with the NAACP in 1992, and it hasn't done them any good, despite having, they've had a token African-American representative every time. But one person on a 7 board is a 7-member board where you need a 4-member majority is, very limited in their reach. They can make statements, they can make pleas, they can, they can talk, but they can't get anything done, without 4 votes. So I would tread very lightly and very slowly in even considering this issue.
Well, I think this argument is huge. Was there some thing you wanted to talk about today, Dennis? Because we didn't really get to.
We didn't get into the basic issue, but last Sunday we had what was the most read article ever in the history of our site. It went truly viral. It is up right now. If you go to our homepage, www.thebradentontimes.com, in the weekly features, it's a slider that's on the top of the screen. It's the first story that comes up. And, we have a situation. It's been going on for years and years. It's not something I broke, but it's something
the cancer count.
Yeah, it keeps kind of disappearing. You've got the old Bayshore High School, which was torn down in the late 90s. They have a statistical anomaly in terms of rare leukemias, rare cancers that are happening with people that are young. And it started, this girl who's got 3 autoimmune deficiency orders herself, she lost her sister just before her 38th birthday. And her sister was a Bayshore graduate class in 1979. She died of a very rare leukemia. Another girl in that class, she didn't know that time, already had a different very rare leukemia. 2 years later, a friend of theirs, who graduated class in 79, family friend, died of the same rare leukemia her sister did. And that's when she started looking at it and saying, wow, one place I read it was 150,000 people that would contract this. What are the odds of us having 2 graduate in the same class? And then when she started asking questions, a lot more people started coming forward. So she started looking into leukemia and saying, what are some of the environmental exposure things? She kept coming up with the word benzene, which is something that you find in a lot of gas. It's a chemical that's one of them. And in fact, I think it's the most common chemical in the United States.
There's another factor here, Dennis, that you might want to think about, and I know some medical people who actually believe this, that most cancers are viruses pretending other connections and coming from other sources. And human action back and forth, you can cite a lot of certain, it's an interesting study to look at where people who've been close with the family member end up with the same cancer a lot as they're dying.
We don't have an idea of where they're contracting it, but we start looking at it, and she says, I think I should go back and start reading some of the school board minutes about building and tearing down the school. And what she found, one, was very interesting. In 1961, when they built the school, are we getting cut off?
No, keep on going. You're fine.
The records from 1961 from the school board minutes all of a sudden start being show up as computer records, Word documents, not scanned in typewritten pages previously, and then later they picked back up as the scanned in ones. And she asked why this was, and she was given the runaround. She was told first they were in poor condition. That turned out not to be true. She said that they got a new scanner in the process of doing all of them. It turned out not to be true. And then there were 6 months and minutes missing in 1999 when they were tearing it down. So there was a lot of information where it seemed like the minutes might have been recreated or destroyed, and there was no disposition of record form filled out for the missing ones. So there's just a lot of red flags to say maybe there's some information being kept from people, and the article goes into a lot of the chase for answers that they were denied, and unfortunately raises more questions than answers, but hopefully the call to action to take a closer look at it.
Well, let's come back to this conversation, Dennis, and maybe it's viral, maybe it's environment, who knows? But anyway, great having you again. Great show. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dennis. Bye-bye.